But what we see here is some really great pictures of what the Hebrew nation knew, because there was the curtain, the Holy of Holies, where Jesus went before. We have a soul is anchored, firm and secure, because Jesus has gone on our behalf to the Holy of Holies so that we may be forgiven of the wrong things. Well, I want to start today's message with a video that's a bit close to my heart. And so have a look at this. It's got music. Can we play it again with the rev? Oh. How good is that? This is a project that I've been working on for about 10 years. I took two working cars and I put them together to make a car that doesn't work. It's my gift. It lives out of Josh's place. Thanks, mate. And this car's been something that I've had to learn lots and lots about. I had to learn about mounting engines and electronics, and I've watched videos, and I've read manuals, and got booklets, and I'm working in gearboxes at the moment. Like, I've had to learn heaps, because it's something that I'm passionate about, and something that I want to work, and something that I want to be able to help others who want to work on similar things. When it comes to being a parent and my kids, I've had to work on it to be a better parent. I've had to work out how to raise kids. And, you know, I won't get people to put up your hands if you've made a mistake raising your kids. But, like, we all have, right? We all make mistakes. There's times when we've done really well, times when we haven't. And so you read books, you watch videos, you talk to others, you learn through the school of hard knocks, and you do better. What about being married? Did that come with a manual? Well, maybe it did, but maybe there's also parts in manual in marriage that's tricky. And you've got to research it, you've got to read, and you've got to learn about it and invest in one another and grow. And so if I need to learn how to be a better husband, learn how to be a better parent, if I need to learn just to work on a car, how much more do I need to learn when it comes to being a Christian about the person that should be the most important person to me? How much more should I need to know who Jesus is if I'm passionate about him? If I'm that passionate about cars, I've got like a folder full of like manuals and bits of paper and research. If I've got a folder for a silly engine, how much more should I be passionate about learning about who Jesus is? Now with this, if someone, this is sort of where the rubber hits the road for this, if someone was to walk up to you and say, why do you follow Jesus? Would you be able to answer them right now? And if you've got some questions or like, I don't know what to do, then this is what today's message is all about. If someone was to say, hey, I want to follow Jesus, how do I do it? I've got some questions. And you go, oh man, I don't know if I've got the answers. Well, today's message is about that. Today is about empowering us to be the church. Not just a church, but to be the church. So before we dive into scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us be the church. To be your church, to be a church that is on the move, a church that is willing to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. Lord, please speak to us today to give us some scripture, to give us some evidence, to give us some passages, to give us some ownership of who you are with the sole purpose of sharing that with somebody else at some time really soon. Give us a burning desire in our heart to share the good news of Jesus with those around us, so that others may know the hope and the love that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 4 says this, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know the answer, you know how to answer everybody or everyone. Now, does this mean that you're not allowed to ever make a mistake? Like, of course not. You're going to make mistakes. We're human. I remember somebody once talking about Jesus and said, you know, and I've been sort of guilty of saying it without the intention behind it. Sometimes we say, oh, Jesus never made a mistake. It's like, well, I'm pretty sure Jesus, he was a carpenter's son, right? When he grew up, he didn't just go, ding, perfect table. Like, he would have made mistakes when it was that. He didn't sin with his relationship with God, but he still had to learn. He would have fallen over and scunned his knee. He was human. He still felt pain. He still did things that he was, you know, had to learn certain skills. And all those things the same as everybody else. It was just his relationship with God that he never failed with. And so things like this, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. There is a part, like a duty, where we can prepare ourselves now, but there's going to be times when someone asks a hairy question and you just go, I don't know the answer to that. And be gracious enough to go, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. And so today's question is really about how well do we know Jesus? And can we answer some of the questions through the series in Hebrews of who Jesus is so that we can answer others when they ask? Barna Research released some research recently, that said that 77% of people globally believe that there is a God. Two-thirds of the world believes in a God. 44% of the world actually believes in the God that we call God. 44%. So it's not quite half. So, and I don't want to round it up or anything. I want to stick to the actual stats. 44% of the world believe that there is a God. The questions people wrestle with when it comes to accepting God or following God, out of the top 10, the top three are, if God is good, then why do we see da-da-da? If God is good, what's happening in Israel? What's God doing about that? If God is good, why do good people go to hell? Like, if God is good. The second one's a little bit similar, but it's a bit more onerous on us. If the church is good, then why do church people do da-da-da-da? Sort of the hypocrisy. If you're a Christian, then why do you do this? If you're a Christian, why do you do that? The third thing of the top 10 was, well, where's the scientific evidence to back up that Jesus is real? Show me the facts. Show me those that are a bit more intellectual in their understanding of how life works. Show me the facts of that so that I may believe. These are some of the barriers. In Australia, the NCLS research that took place a little while ago says that 4 in 10 people would say yes if you invited them to church. 4 in 10. Once again, it's not 50-50. I want to be honest with the data. I don't want to pat it out. 4 in 10. If you invited them to church, would come. And the biggest barrier for people coming to church is that they have seen in the media that there's scandals in the church. The number one thing. And so, we see that as well here at Yorkie. We'll see some of the biggest community missional stuff that we do. And while those running it are overtly Christian, talk about Jesus all the time, what we often see in the newspapers is that the one thing they leave out is that it's held at a church. Well, they pull back on that. But if something ever goes bad in a church, man, they'll advertise that everywhere. And so that has an effect on the community because they see the scandals over and over again because that sort of sells newspapers or whatever people read nowadays. And so if it came to a point where a friend came to you and said, I want to become a Christian. Do you feel equipped to be able to lead them to Jesus? To help them accept it? In the last week, I've had three conversations. In the last 2 weeks, three times people have said, I got to the point with somebody where they said they wanted to accept Jesus and then all of a sudden they go, I don't know what to do now. God was great. God was gracious. He always is. And I had to think really quickly, what is the prayer? What does that look like? I always try and make it simple. I'll just answer it really quickly. If you ever get that point with somebody, I go back to the kids' version. Sorry, thank, ask. Sorry, I've messed up. Thank you for sending Jesus. I ask him into my life. Really simple, really simple. And I just keep it super simple. You can do it more. You can build on all those three, but there's a quick version for you. Sorry, thank, ask. But in this, there's times that we don't feel equipped or we don't have the answers. And so in Hebrews, we start to see a little bit about who Jesus is. And as soon as we look at Jesus, we start to see the answers reveal themselves. The more we look at Jesus, the more these answers that the world has start to answer themselves. And so if you've got your Bibles, Hebrews, we're going to focus in Hebrews chapter 4, but I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And in a world where things are shifting, in a world where what is truth, in a world where things are a bit all over the place, we read this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We have this hope for a start. Man, how good is it to have hope, right? In the midst of crazy stuff happening all over the world and things happening in people's lives, to have hope, man, that's so good. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Oh, how good is that? We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And they even go back and say, firm and secure. Just in case you missed the word anchor, it is firm, it is secure. Your soul, the part that will last forever, has hope that is firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where the forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become the high priest over in the order of Melchizedek. And of course, everybody knows about the old Melchizedek. Don't need to unpack that, do I? What on earth? Actually, we're not going to go down the rabbit hole of Melchizedek, but it was fun research. I'd encourage you to research. See me after the service, I'll tell you some stuff. But there's significance to it. But what we see here is some really great pictures of what the Hebrew nation knew, because there was the curtain, the Holy of Holies, where Jesus went before. We have a soul is anchored, firm and secure, because Jesus has gone on our behalf to the Holy of Holies so that we may be forgiven of the wrong things. Jesus is our great high priest. And then you go, great high priest? What? Now, you know, in Ballarat, the word priest doesn't have a good reputation. Why on earth would we want a great high? Why do we even need a priest, let alone a great high priest? Like, what? We need to unpack this a little bit. Why on earth do we even need a priest? To give a bit of a run at it, in the beginning, God made us, and he made us for a purpose. There is a purpose for our creation, and that purpose is relationship. God made us for a relationship with him. And in the first man that God made, Adam, was working on naming all the animals, and it was a bit stressful. And it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he made him an equal, a partner, a helper, to be able to help him through life, because he was pretty stressed. He didn't have the great names like Melchizedek quite worked out yet. And so he made Eve. And their purpose was to have a relationship with God. But then all of a sudden they go, do you know what? Rather than us letting God be in charge, we want to be in charge. We want something that we don't have. And rather than being dependent on God, they wanted something that God had that they didn't, and they grabbed the fruit, the forbidden fruit, the fruit, and they made their own decision. And in doing so, they broke what they were created for, the relationship with God. And they made their own decisions. Now God said, hey, I love you so much that there is a consequence for this. And the consequence is that now you cannot be where I am in this space because you've made a mistake, but I still love you. And so there's a consequence for that action, but I still love you. I still want to be with you, and I will make a way to be with you. And so the first thing that God did is he cast them out of the garden, out of the space where they were walking with him and being the way they were designed to be, was God took an animal and he sacrificed the animal and he covered them in the fur, in the coat. Because they had no clothes and they were full of shame, he covered their shame with the sacrifice of an animal, the shedding of blood. And then God said, hey, because there's this curse of sin, which is death, an eternity without me, I want to be with you. I want to have a relationship, but you need to show that you put me first. And while God was the first to sacrifice an animal in their place, to substitute him, then he said, hey, I'm going to make a way that you can show me that you want me first in your life, to be walking with me, and that can be through the sacrifice. And so sometimes it was an animal, a lamb. Sometimes it was really precious oil, because oil was really expensive. And you could give an offering of oil wasn't always an animal, but often we see that there was a sacrifice, and most of the time it was blood. There was a sacrifice in your place so that you and I could be restored. Now to do this is what we're getting to the priest bit, right? To do this, God said through a certain family tree, we're going to make a whole family line, a lineage, they're going to be priests. And their entire job is to make sure that the God's people can be forgiven of their sins. That's their job. And so their whole job was to make sure that the temple was run a certain way, sacrifices were done a certain way. And that was their job. They were priests, but they're also human. And so when you look at the priest line through the Old Testament, man, they made some mistakes. Some of the priests were horrible. Their kids were doing crazy stuff. They're all over the place. Sometimes they start worshiping foreign gods and doing that. Like, man, the priests, because they were human, they made bad decisions. And so all of a sudden, we see God say, hey, I'm going to send a priest. I'm going to send a priest that will not mess up, that will not mess up in their relationship with me. And so Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, we pick this up. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who is tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Why do we need a great high priest? Because we cannot do it ourselves. When we make our own decisions, we just get ourselves in trouble. When we try and find our way out of problems, we just find ourselves making more problems. We start hurting ourselves, we start hurting those around us, and we hurt our relationship with God. When we default to Jesus, the great high priest, all of a sudden he has made a way. He has made a way with grace. He's made a way. He humbled himself and came to earth. He loved us enough that he took our consequence on himself when he died on the cross. And so I want you to know, when we talk about priests, don't look at people. Don't look at me. Don't look at me as the priest, right? Or the minister or whatever you want to call me. I'm a human. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fail. Just not because I want to, but just because I'm human. But when we look to Jesus, we have a priest that will not fail. And when we start to realize this, we start to get some answers to some questions when we see how much Jesus loved us. You see, the question of why does a loving God allow people to go to hell? Well, he doesn't. A loving God did everything so that we didn't. A loving God from the Old Testament, from the moment that we sinned in the Garden of Eden, created a sacrifice to cover our shame all the way through to when Jesus died on the cross. And once again, a sacrifice covered our shame one time and for all. He had a sacrificial system in the Old Testament where people could be forgiven and be restored and get to spend an eternity with God. We have Jesus. We live on this side of the cross. And if we accept Jesus, we get to go to heaven. So it's not that people don't get to have a relationship with Jesus and go to hell. People choose not to have a relationship with Jesus. If people choose not to follow Jesus, they're saying, I don't want to spend eternity with him. I want to spend eternity without him. It's their choice. The next question is, but how do they know this? Isn't that unfair? How do people know that if they don't choose Jesus, they're choosing an eternity without him? And this is where it becomes about the church, right? Have you told them? Have I told them? Do they actually, they don't, if they don't know, it's because we haven't told them. That's our job. Not to do it a creepy way. Don't walk up and down the bridge mall and say, do you know the great high priest? You know, weird as, don't do that. Tim said, no, I don't, I didn't. Don't do that, that's weird, it's creepy, right? But build relationship with people with the intent of going, hey, I see this person, you're such a good person. One day I just want to share Jesus with you. I just want to share what Jesus looks like. Yeah, I want to share what Jesus means to me. We had a guy that came to church just before the 9 o'clock service, knows a couple of people, Hannah and Meg, and a few knows the Hannah and Jacob really well, and came to church, came for the coffee. Had coffee before church started and then left. Like, cool. Okay, so we've instructed the coffee operators, just take a lot longer to make that coffee. But hey, whatever it takes. He didn't come to church for anything other than relationship and coffee. Man, that's the first step, right? That's what it's about. And it's intentional, because you can get coffee anywhere, but he was invited here. Rode his scooter all the way from Sebastopol. How cool is that, right? This is what it is to be intentional. This is what it is to invite people to share the good news with others. This person without Jesus will go to hell. And so we start loving on them. We start caring about them. We start giving people opportunities. Hebrews 4, verse 1. So we've read the last a bit further down in Hebrews. We go to verse 1 and it says this: therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that no one is found to have fallen short of it. Hands up if you were here at Christmas Day service. Yeah, oh, you see, lots more. I don't know, 9 o'clock was, I don't know if people were too afraid to put their hands up or what. But so at Christmas Day, we talked about how sin was an archery term. And we had special effects and all sorts of fun stuff happening on that day, if you remember, if you were here. If you weren't, maybe watch the video. It was pretty funny. It's short service, but really funny. So we talked about how sin is an archery term, and where it says, for all have fallen short, missed the mark. You know, all those phrases come from archery terms. So when we read fallen short, it's talking about sin. It's talking about not hitting where God wants us to hit. Be careful that no one is found to have fallen short of it. Verse 2, for we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Those who obeyed shared it with them, but they didn't share it. You see, we've talked about this a whole heap in recent sort of probably the last 6 or 12 months about all disciples are Christians, but not all Christians are disciples. You can be saved and go, yes, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Yes, thank you for forgiving me of the wrong things I've done. Jesus goes, thank you, I love you. You're into heaven, done. And you can be a one-year Christian just like that, over and over and over, as Carlene said last week, over and over and over again. Or you can be a mature Christian, a follower of Jesus, a disciple. And you will be known as disciples by the way you love one another, by the way you share the good news of Jesus. And this passage says that those who obey Jesus are the ones that are sharing Jesus with others, sharing the good news, sharing their faith, sharing the story of what God has done in their life. Yeah, I'm going to share a story. You may be watching online. If you are, I'm not going to use your name. But for the last few years, I've been inviting a few different people from the gym that I go to church. And one of the trainers at the gym I've been inviting to church for probably at least 2 years, really intentionally. And we have the most incredible conversations in the gym. Like, usually I'm at the gym and I've got really heavy, like, Christian music, like Skillet and that sort of stuff. Like, oh, yeah, sort of, oh, you'll lift heavy weights. Oh. And that's usually sort of my mental headspace. And then all of a sudden, catch eye contact. He goes, hey, hey, you know what, so? He goes, yeah, so this predestination in the Bible. I'm like, what? Like, man, oh, yeah, now with Moses, did he do that? Man, you just had these great conversations about faith in the Bible. So good. So good. Anyway, I'm almost ashamed to say this, that a few weeks back, he turns up to church at 9 o'clock. And the reason I'm ashamed to share this is on his first day of coming to church, he brings a friend. And I'm like, how many of us have brought a friend to church? On his first visit, he brings more people than some people have brought in 10 years of being a follower of Jesus. What? So good. That person was here again. The friend was here this morning and had been praying and had this dream of getting connected with a group and getting connected. And her words were, she's a little bit older in her life stage, so maybe 22, 23, I don't want to even guess ages. And I know her from the gym. She did the push-up challenge to raise funds for mental health. She's an absolute champion, beautiful person. And she goes, I've just got this dream of just being with people my age that don't just want to sit there and wither away and do nothing. I want to be with people that are my age that want to exercise and do stuff. And all of a sudden, here we are talking about a marathon. Here she is having a conversation with Meg. And guess where she's coming this Thursday night? Perseverance Runners, right? Like, how good is this? All because someone I invited someone else, and they're like, what is going on? Man, it's relationship. It took years of just building trust and caring for people. No other agenda. I'm not trying to bribe or anything. I'm just building relationship. And I'm saying, and already God is just doing amazing things. So good. I'm so excited just to be a part of that stuff. And we want to capture these stories because of what God's doing. I shared it last service. I want to share this one again. During COVID, Rylan, my son, made a couple of friends down a little local bike path, little jump section. And it's sort of the beginning of the end for him because he had a hard tail and like a normal bike, what us normal mere mortals would use. And that was all a good start, and they would do all tricky stuff and build a great relationship. And then he got right into bikes and then started buying these crazy expensive bikes and then riding crazy downhill and racing and all that sort of stuff. But he had these few friends that he built up that he started with in COVID. And so, what's that, like 6 years ago this started? And he's been inviting them to church over and over and over again. And guess what happened last week at Summerfest? One of these young guys comes to church. And not only that, because Summerfest was pretty out there. Like, if you're not used to church, it's not like coming to a rock show or a concert, it's not coming to a footy. There was something pretty special about Summerfest where kids are praying for each other and people are crying and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, it's different, right? Like, when I was a young teenage boy, I was there for the girls. Like, and like, let's be honest, let's be honest, you know, that's where my headspace would have been. I would have walked into that and gone, man, that really hot looking girl looks weird when she's crying. Yeah, that's where my head would have gone. But this young guy walks in and there's prayer and there's amazing stuff happening all through the room, all through the place. And he goes, hey, can I come back the next night? So he goes the Saturday, he comes back on the Sunday. And the Sunday afternoon, he goes, can I come to church Sunday night? Comes to church Sunday night. It's an amazing service. Bruce goes and prays for us. Bruce runs our Thursday prayer meeting, and Bruce prays over everyone. He's been praying for a revival for ages. I don't know if you know this or not, Bruce. But then after the service, a whole group went into the youth hall and just started praying and incredible things. And this young guy that Ryland's been investing in and built a friendship gives his life to Jesus. All right? Like, yeah, like, how good is that? Like, how amazing. Years of relationship. And the power of building relationship, the power of intentionally inviting others into a space to experience God. And so don't be afraid to share Jesus with your friends. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. We did not share their faith. We want to be those that share our faith. We have a great high priest. We need a great high priest because we can't do it ourselves. We need someone to intercede on our behalf, and we want to introduce our friends to who Jesus is. And so if we're going to be more than a church, we've got to have an action point to this. We can't just have head knowledge. We've got to live this out. And so I've got a challenge for us this morning. And that is, as you leave today at the doors, you'll be handed a couple of little cards. And on one card, it says, write the name of someone that you will pray for. And, this is the courageous bit, ask that God would give you an opportunity to share Jesus with them. This week, you can have the opportunity of sharing Jesus with someone that you actually care about. You can pray about them, say, hey, God, I pray that they get to know you. But quite often when you pray that, it's kind of like, done my bit. But if you pray, God, give me an opportunity to speak to them, a bit harder, right? And sometimes that's tricky. Sometimes we need support in that. So the other card is about accountability. Now, accountability is not about guilt. It's like, oh, yeah, I was going to pray for that person, but I fell over and broke my leg and spent the week in hospital. It's like, shame for breaking your leg. So that's what? That's not what it's about. You know, that's not how it should work. Accountability is just, it's like, hey, how'd you go this week? Hey, how can I pray for you in that? Can I pray for that person as well? You know, how you doing? Someone to talk through how you went with that. I've had conversations with some of the older members of our congregation saying, how many non-Christians do you know? And there's a few that have gone, I don't know many, if any, non-Christians. That season of life just means that they're now in a space of life where the only people they know are Christians. And while that's great and comfortable, it doesn't grow the kingdom, right? It's not about sharing the gospel. It's great to be comfortable and know that, and man, what a great space to be. But if we're not sharing the gospel with others, once again, Ballarat Marathon, great opportunity. Let's go out there. Make some friends. And so accountability is about loving accountability. I want to finish with an example of what this could look like. And so a number of weeks ago, there was a young lady who was in her 20s that was going through a hard patch, and so I'd organised to catch up with her with Yvette as well, because I wouldn't go one-on-one, right? And so Yvette and I went to a cafe and caught up with this person and just talked and spoke life and positive things and built them up. And like, we'd been praying for the person beforehand individually, and in that space, I was looking for the window to be ready to share the gospel. I was looking for the window to pray for her. But I had this uncomfortable bit, and I'm wrestling with in the moment while we're sitting there. I'm wrestling going, God, like, am I afraid? What? I don't get this. Praying's not, like, it's not a, I don't know, it should be easy, right? I should just, hey, can I pray for you? Pray, done. That's not, I do that all the time. It's really natural, it's my usual habit. So to feel uneasy about it was weird. And then we finished, I didn't pray for the person, you know, face to face in the moment. And then as we left, Yvette said, oh, I just felt like I wanted to pray, but it just didn't feel right. And I'm like, oh, so good. Yes, I'm the same, right? So it wasn't the time. Yes, we prayed for them. Yeah, of course, just not to their face. It wasn't the time. Sometimes the Spirit will say, not yet. Other times, the Spirit will say, do something weird, you know? Touch them on the head and pray for them. Like, the Spirit, what the Spirit does, we do. But there was a moment where it wasn't the time. We're building relationship. This person needs Jesus. And we're going to keep building the relationship and investing. Been multiple messages back and forwards, caring for this person, loving them. They're not a part of the church community yet. And so as we leave today, we have an opportunity to write down the name of someone that we care about. Find someone that you would like to keep you accountable. And if you want to hold somebody else accountable or pray for someone, go and grab their name as well. It might be that you know, you heard from young Gibbo about what it's like to run these marathons and this incredible ministry that he has. How lonely it is sometimes when you cry and your guts out, and how many conversations he gets to have because he wears a shirt that's got a Bible verse on the back of it. And when you're, he's really quick, so he's always in front. So imagine just following that verse for like hours and hours and hours. Just as you go to sleep, you just can't, you see that perseverance passage in your mind. You know, like, be praying for the guy. Let him know that you're praying for him. We've got to be more than a church, guys. We have to. We have to be the church. And if we don't tell them, who will? It's our job. People need Jesus. People need hope. People need the great high priest that will intercede on their behalf so they can have an eternity with their Creator and fulfill their purpose of a relationship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as these names get written down, Lord, that there would just be such a celebration in heaven, such a celebration of hope and of life. As you know those names and you go, yes, 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 that is my child who I love. I sent my son for that person. I long to have them restored in their relationship. I long for them to even realize that no matter what they're going through, they are loved. They are cherished. They're not alone. And Lord, in the brokenness of this world, may we stand on the firm foundation that is an anchor to our soul that is found in Jesus, the great high priest. Lord, I pray that in that we would have a confidence and a boldness to lovingly pray that courageous prayer of God, give me an opportunity this week. Give me eyes to see the way to share that conversation and a discernment to know what to say and what not to say. When to pray, when to lean back, when to push, when not to push. And Lord, over time, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that we would see thousands and thousands of people come to know the name of Jesus Christ, because we are your disciples and we are more than a church. Lord, I pray that as we look at the new to the next, we continue in this theme for the year, that we would build on the covenant that has been laid through Jesus, and we would see the next season of generations come to know you. Every generation, the older generation, the family generation, the younger generation, we long to see them in a space where they just cry out to you as their Lord and Savior and receive you into their life with the hope that comes from knowing Jesus. Lord, give us the courage this week to be your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's service. And if you are looking for any resources to continue to connect in, you can find them on the links below or on our website. We'd love to see you in the building sometime at one of our future services. And remember, no matter what happens this week, keep coming back.